David's Daily Digital Dollop. Dollop 8. Apple versus Microsoft versus the apocalypse. Well, I have not died. God did not smite me yesterday, although I did feel as if I'd had a heart attack when I turned on my computer. After a 2-year dalliance with an Apple Mac, not like that, you dirty animals, I'm now back to using Windows more or less entirely. Don't worry, this is not going to be a blog post exclusively for nerds. I haven't used my Mac for a couple of months, but I needed to turn it on in order to get some files off it. A few seconds after switching the computer on, I got a huge shock. The Mac, as if indignant at my betrayal, made a deafening sound. It was so loud that it caused the people that I'm living with to wake up with a jolt. This was not the first time that it had happened, although I'd never experienced it at such a high volume before. The sound was the generic Apple Mac startup sound that occurs a few seconds after turning on. I think it remembers where your volume was set to the last time you were using the computer and chimes accordingly. The last time I used the Mac was during a gig, and the computer was connected to a mixing desk and set to the highest possible volume, hence its ferocity. There is no way that I have found to circumvent this sound. Even when you plug the headphones in, the sound still plays through the speakers. If I forget to set the volume to a low level before shutting it down, then there is nothing that can be done about the loudness of the sound when it turns back on. This is not the first time that I have woken people up with the Mac startup sound, nor am I the only person who's experienced this. The young'un's very own Michael Hughes has got into trouble off his girlfriend for turning on the computer in the middle of the night, unable to sleep, and then waking the entire house up with the cursed Apple startup sound. And once the button has been pressed, nothing can help you. If you press the on button and then realise with horror that the laptop volume was set to high before you shut it down and is therefore about to seriously piss off your girlfriend, waking her and the entire household and all the neighbours down the street up, there is nothing that you can do to stop it. You are powerless. Frantically pressing volume down repeatedly is useless. The Mac plays the sound just as loud as it deems fit. Plugging headphones in won't help you. The Mac doesn't give a toss. It will chime loudly through the speakers regardless. It may even chime through the headphones as well, meaning that if you're wearing them when it chimes, you are likely to scream out loud in shock of hearing such an ear-splitting noise directly fed into your ears. There isn't enough time to run out of the room with the laptop, hoping to get far enough away from sleeping people. You have about 2 seconds till the hideous loud noise begins. The battery packs on the Macs are completely covered over, so you can't even yank the battery out. And don't go thinking that holding down the off key immediately after switching it on is going to help you either, because it won't. All that will happen then is that the sound plays, your girlfriend wakes up, the Mac then powers down, your girlfriend slaps you, and you're back at square one. If you really do need to use the computer, then you have no choice but to switch it back on again and let the chimes of doom seal the deal on your breakup once and for all. I don't know whether I have any readers to this blog or listeners to this podcast who work as spies, but if I do, then presumably they're doing a reasonable job, given that I don't know of their existence. I would imagine one of the first things you learn in spy school is not to use an Apple Mac computer.
Okay, we've managed to smuggle ourselves under the cover of darkness into the enemy's headquarters. I know, I can't believe it. The place had cameras everywhere. Then there was that crazy alarm system with the 30,000-digit code, which you managed somehow to know and enter correctly, while all the while being chased by that giant killer robot. Oh, but then, when we were caught by those armed security guards, I really thought our game was up. But then you pulled it out the bag again, managed somehow to seduce every single one of those security guards, convinced them to partake in bondage, tied them up, and shot them all. Oh, that was out of this world. Oh, and the sex was pretty good too. And then, just as I thought we'd finally made it, we were presented by another control panel, and somehow you managed to guess the 140,000-digit code. And now here we are. Oh, now what do we do, boss?
When you're in this game, son, you've got to think of everything. Codes, alarms, security guards, killer robots disguised as harmless-looking teapots. I've seen it all before.
Ah, I wondered why you went crazy earlier when you saw that old teapot. I thought it was a bit unusual when you opened fire on it, but I didn't want to say anything at the time. It didn't really seem appropriate, plus you had that weird look in your eyes again. Son,
When you've been a spy as long as I have, you learn to trust nothing. Especially teapots. Although, on this occasion, it did turn out to be just a teapot. Antique. Chinese. One of the few surviving teapots from the Chinese Qing Dynasty during the Quanlong period, circa 1736 to 1795. Ashamed to have riddled it with bullet holes, as it would have fetched quite a bit at auction. Or I could have just taken it home and given it to my wife. But never mind. Anyway, I can't sit here under the floorboards of an enemy's headquarters chatting about antique teapots all day. There's work to be done. All I need to do now is log on to their mainframe, which is a piece of cake. I can't believe they thought that I wouldn't see through that disguise. Hiding your mainframe computer inside a piece of cake, why, that's one of the oldest tricks in the book. Once I've hacked into their mainframe, then I'll shut them down forever. The bastards. And then we'll have a slice of cake to celebrate. A shame I got rid of the teapot. It would have been nice to have had some tea with it, too. I've got some lovely chamomile tea bags in my pockets. Calms the nerves down, you see. You need something to calm you down after a hard day's work, sexing armed security guards and smashing up antique robots. Victory is in sight, my friend. 30 years of my life I've worked on this. 30 years of my life I've waited for this moment. 30 years. And now, finally, all I need to do is turn on the computer, enter the 750,000-digit code, which fortunately I had the foresight to copy to the clipboard in advance, and then watch their evil empire crumble. I must admit, when my bosses told me that I had to take the work experience boy with me on this mission, I was, quite frankly, livid. I thought having you here would ruin everything. But you've done good, boy. You've done real good. Anyway, this is the end. Turn on the computer. Turn on the computer, son. Turn on the computer. And let's end this now. Okay, boss. Here goes. Hang on. What? Is that a Mac? You brought a Mac? You idiot. Don't turn it. Shit. Oh, I hate you, Steve Jobs.
Ah, look who it is. Ha ha. Hello again, my old friend. I knew we'd get him one day. Foiled by an Apple Mac computer. Did that man not go to spy school? Oh, God. He didn't bring the work experience boy with him. Oh, we've been through some scrapes together, haven't we, my old friend? Remember that time when you thought you seduced me, had sex with me, and then you thought you'd kill me? No, oh, I was onto you. I ran away straight after the sex. I didn't even need to have sex with you, but I just felt like it. Well, you've never forgiven me for that. We could have been good together. So good together. You had to be one of the good guys. Oh, well, I best we guess search his pockets, see if he's got any information to give us. Oh, what's this? Chamomile tea. Oh, very nice. Oh, I shall have some of that later. Calm my nerves down. It's been a bit of a stressful day. Not to mention all those dead security guards with glazed expressions on their faces. I know what you did with them, you dirty dog. Then again, I can't imagine a Windows computer doing much better in a planet-saving mission. Okay, we've got just seconds to spare. All I need to do is type in the code and take the enemy's weapon system out. Yes, got it. Okay, now I just need to press the Enter key and the world will be saved. Oh no, what's this? Windows has encountered a problem and needs to close? Oh, I'm trying to save the planet, goddamn! I was just seconds away. What? Do you want to send a problem report to Microsoft? This will help us fix this and similar problems in the future? There is no future, Microsoft! There is no future! We're all doomed! What? Hang on. What's happening? Why aren't we dead? Oh, it turns out that the enemy was using Apple Maps to locate us. They've got their lasers pointed in completely the wrong direction. They've just blown themselves up. Brilliant! Disaster averted. Well, I might as well restart this computer and have a cheeky game of Spider Solitaire. Well, there you go, friends. Two gripping dramas in one blog post. As of yet uncommissioned, but you never know who might be listening. As you can tell, nothing much is really happening in my life at the moment. The young'uns don't have a gig until February, and I haven't really been out much this week. Hence why these blog posts and podcasts have become less about me and more about killer teapots and planet-saving spies. Whether that's a bad thing or not, I don't know. Feel free to leave a comment. I feel that this project is working well, but perhaps I'm too deeply entrenched in it to properly have an idea. Thanks for reading and listening anyway. I'll be back tomorrow.